wisdom from the best physicians. You know, just like medical doctors and their manuals, the history of the church is full of confessional guides, books that were written by competent healers about how to heal various things. And this is true east, west, north, and south throughout the 2,000-year history of the church. Now, the patristic tradition is full of these manuals. Ironically, 21st century America in English isn't. So the church, it was very common. Priests throughout the history of the Orthodox Church have always had manuals of confession to go to. Many of these were even prescribed to be held by the priest so that he could refer to them if he didn't know them. But we're in a very unique time where really these manuals do not exist. Now, there are a number of decent books on confession, but they're more on what Father Michael was discussing yesterday, the history and the development of confession and those types of things, but not manual guides for the priest on actually how to heal someone. This is most unusual. And I thought I would mention to you just a few examples of different manuals. They haven't been translated into the English language. And we have not yet had from our own midst those fathers who have occupied a position as spiritual father in English, who then can write an authoritative text to us in English. It's just happening. It's just happening. Elder Joseph of the Hesychast's volume, for instance, is a beautiful insight into spiritual guidance. I mean, he is such a spiritual guide par excellence. And his monastic wisdom book, which is given to monastic fathers, but the whole spirit of fatherhood in there is so obvious. It's so clear. But we don't have a lot of things like that. We really don't. We need them. Let me just give you some examples. In the Byzantine tradition, many of the fathers, the Cappadocians, for instance, wrote detailed guidelines on how to heal sins. St. Basil the Great in his canons. St. Gregory the Theologian in his instructions. St. John the Faster, who was the Patriarch of Constantinople in the early 7th century, from about 580 until the early part of the 7th century, gave us a confessor's manual. It has 35 canons, and almost all of them are directed to people in confession and how to heal specific things. And the canons of St. John the Faster, very popular. They still are very popular in countries where they're actually in their language. That inheritance was bequeathed to the Slavs after the Slavs were converted. There's a very beautiful book that I would recommend to you by a woman named Levine. Her first name is Eve. It's published by Cornell Press, 1989, I think. And it's called Sex and Sexuality in the World of the Orthodox Slavs. And then it's from 900, basically the time of their conversion, to 1700, to Peter the Great, before serious Western influences came into confessional manuals in Russia. It's a fantastic text. Now, don't be misled by the fact that she's focusing on sex and sexuality. Those are very broad terms in her usage. She really is tracing confessor manuals, ecclesiastical court records, the full gamut on how sin was dealt with. This is just a particular focus in the book for those years. And what's so fascinating to see, and she's not just dealing with Russians, she's dealing with Serbs, Bulgarians, and Russians. What's so fascinating to see is the consistency of the publication of confessor manuals throughout that entire 800-year period. They received the inheritance from Byzantium, and then they passed it on to their confessors, and the confessors constantly had manuals that were updated, which is so important. You know, much of what we're doing here is hearing from Dr. Engelhardt about all these new sins our people can get into that they never could have got into before. Because science, with the development of technology, there are all sorts of new things that are temptations to our people that can snag them. And if we don't address them, and if we don't bring them to our confessors, we don't know how to heal them. What do you do? For instance, I felt this way. I had a woman come to me and tell me that she was a surrogate mother, and that the baby was in her belly. And I looked at her and I thought, you know, I read a lot of manuals. There was never any manual that conceived that a baby would be able to be conceived somewhere else,